In a world where Mike Malloy has the night off and Brad Friedman is the only voice you hear on your radio, it's Friday the 13th. Nightmare on Malloy Street. Rated GOP 17. White wingers not admitted without a vote.
Yes, it is. Oh, yes. Welcome, truth seekers. It is I, Brad Friedman, your nightmare on Malloy Street. Broadcasting all night long, Friday the 13th, from the left coast to coast, and around the globe. It is I, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow occupying your public airwaves. Whose nightmare will I be tonight? Yes, the guy from bradblog.com. Glad you could join us here tonight, True Seekers. Mike Malloy, as the demon at the top of the hour has instructed you, has the night off tonight, so you will have me. He will be back on Monday. So after tonight, your long national Friday nightmare will be over. But until then, it is I, Brad Friedman, and I'm glad you can join us here tonight. Got a big Mike Malloy show for you, a big nightmare on Malloy Street for you straight ahead. What are the nightmares that we're going to discuss tonight? Oh, count them. This is going to be, well, it might be your nightmare. Here's why it could be your nightmare tonight. I just might decide to open the phones to nothing but right-wingers. Although, you know what? Every time I'm on the show, every time I'm sitting in for Mike, I invite the right-wingers because I know they're feeling deprived. I know that though they control the airwaves, control our public airwaves, that because they have the airwaves for, what, 99.9% of the week, of the morning, of the afternoon, of the evening, on your public airwaves, over your radio waves across the nation, I feel sorry for them because, you know, when Mike is in, he doesn't like to hear from the flying monkeys. They kind of make his head explode. And while we all enjoy when Mike's head explodes, he doesn't like it so much, so he doesn't invite them. So I invite the right-wingers to give me a call and to, you know, have their say and try to tell me where I'm wrong, tell me where I have my facts wrong. And yet we find out usually they can't. Usually they have no facts. Usually they're speaking from their emotions. I don't know. I would say from what they heard on Fox News, from what they heard on Rush Limbaugh, from what they heard on Sean Hannity. Facts, schmacks, who needs them? There's voter fraud going on. James O'Keefe told me so. Oh, I'm going to be talking about James O'Keefe tonight. I'm going to be James O'Keefe's worst nightmare in the second hour. You'll want to stick around for that. Unless, of course, James O'Keefe wants to call in tonight. Love to hear from him. Love to hear from you at 877-520-1150. That'll be our phone number tonight. 877-520-1150. Don't forget to stop by the bradblog.com chat room. Just look for the great big Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Malloy Street banner. Click on through to the comments. You'll find a live chat room going on where For Earth, our friend For Earth, is in there moderating, holding the door open for you. Desi Doyen, our producer, is also moderating. We've got a new associate producer here with us tonight in the lovely K-Talk AM 1150 studios in beautiful downtown Burbank. Margot Paez of Insight Out News. She's tossing in and helping us out tonight. What other business do I have? You can tweet me on the Twitters at the Brad Blog. That's where you'll find me on the Twitters. Okay, and we've got a lot of nightmare clips tonight from our good pals Shano and Kenny Pick over at the RadioOrNot.com network. Thanks, guys. Y'all rock. Okay, well, let's see. Since I was in last time, I don't think I've been. This is my first time in for 212. Where? It was the end of the year last. That's right. It was just before New Year's Eve I was in. We were looking forward to Iowa. What was going to happen? Who could possibly tell what was going to happen? And we do. By the way, Tony, did Des give you that MSNBC clip with the Iowa, the South Carolina teaser? Did we remember to do that, or is that one of the things we lost because it's Friday the 13th? All right, well, all right, Des will come in. She'll get it to us. Anyway, it was just before the Iowa caucuses, and I think that I had just broken the news about the fact that Iowa, where the Republicans decide all of their own rules, all of their own election processes, they can make any rules they want for their own voters. It's not run by the state of Iowa. It's run by the state of the state Republicans in Iowa, in the Hawkeye State. Now, earlier in the year, the Iowa Republicans had put forward a photo ID restriction law in the House, in the state House. It was sponsored by Matt Schultz, the Iowa Republican Secretary of State, because they said there was a grave epidemic of voter fraud that had to be stopped at the polls. Because, dead people were coming in and voting. People were voting twice. There was massive voter fraud going on that had to be stopped. Of course, that was in regular elections where Democrats would participate. But in the Iowa caucuses, it was nothing but Republicans. Well, Republicans and anybody else who wanted to come in, register on the same day to vote, and then cast their vote. And when the Republicans had their own rules that they could set for their own elections, no photo ID was required. No photo ID restrictions. Oh, and yes, you could register on the very same day to vote and then cast your vote, all without photo ID. And to make things even better, you could vote on a paper ballot. And to make things even better than that, instead of running them through optical scan machines that nobody can count, that nobody knows if they actually operated correctly, they were going to count them by hand in front of the public. Can you imagine that? In front of the public, in front of the voters, all the voters could see at each precinct before the ballots were moved anywhere else. They could all see what the results were, so that if anybody tried to game the system, people would be able to step forward and say, wait a minute, I was at the precinct. I saw what the results were at my precinct. I know that Mitt Romney didn't get 22 votes. I know he got 2 instead. Well, as it turned out, that's exactly what happened in Iowa. And at the end of the night, after all the votes, about 122,000 votes across the state of Iowa had all been counted by hand in front of all the people, in front of the citizenry, in front of anybody who wanted to come in and observe. They could have had people in from the UN coming in and observing, people from around the world, you know, in countries where they still have democracies. They could come in and observe if they want and watch the vote counting and watch the tally. You wouldn't have to rely on any one person, on any one computer system to tell you who won the election. So before it was even midnight on the West Coast, out here where we live, 122,000 votes had been counted publicly, transparently, on hand-marked paper ballots. And we found that Mitt Romney, Willard Mitt Mittens Romney had won by 8 votes. 8 votes out of 122,000 votes. Unbelievably close election. You will not find a closer election. And yet, 8 votes, Mitt Romney supposedly wins, according to the Iowa GOP. Nobody is screaming voter fraud. Even though they had no photo ID requirements. Even though they voted on paper. Even though they counted those paper ballots in front of the public who could have registered that day and voted that day, all things that Republicans have been for years across this country and still to this day arguing against, fighting against, keeping you from being able to do it because you might not vote for a Republican. You might accidentally vote for a Democrat. An independent, a third party. But when they know you're going to vote on for Republicans, no problem at all. So 8 votes, everybody knows that's the total. There's no complaints, there's no concerns, and nobody's yelling and screaming about, they had ballots in the trunk of their car. Oh, Democrats were bringing people in from across state lines. Everything was fine. There was not even a question about the results. Now the Republican Party said, we've got 2 weeks to certify that ballot, those results. So we don't know for sure, but it looks like it's an 8-vote win for Romney. Well, then, let's see. It was last Thursday? Yeah, late last Thursday night. A man by the name of Edward True, who I got to speak to over the weekend, he stepped forward and he said, "No, wait a minute. At the precinct that I was at, I was looking. I checked the GOP Iowa GOP website. It says that Mitt Romney got 22 votes. No, I was there. I wrote it down. He only got 2 votes. So if he only got 2 votes at my precinct, that means Mitt Romney didn't win. That means Rick Santorum won. Rick Santorum. Santorum should be on everyone's lips this morning in America. Not Mitt Romney. Anyway, I'll tell you what happened with Edward True. I'll tell you what happened with the rest of those results in Iowa. I'll tell you what happened in New Hampshire in as far as we can guess. And I'll tell you what you can look forward to in South Carolina a week from tomorrow night. Good luck finding anything in South Carolina a week from tomorrow night. I'll explain all of that. Oh, and we're going to have someone from the Wisconsin Democratic Party a little bit later today with news on the Walker recall. Stay tuned. You're listening to Brad. This is The Nightmare on Molloy Street.
I was born to bring trouble wherever I may.
Yeah, your nightmare continues. Brad Friedman on Friday the 13th. Yes, this is Nightmare on Molloy Street, sitting in for Mike Molloy all night long. Glad you can join us. Lots to cover tonight. And let's see, someone, I won't say who, in case she decides to call, tried to call in, and we didn't have the opening, lines open yet in that first half hour. We've corrected that now at 877-520-1150. You can try to get in if you want. As I was saying, in Iowa, and I have to point this out, because a week ago last night, Rachel Maddow was talking about this on MSNBC, and she got it wrong. She got it dead wrong. Maddow missed by a country mile. And I love Rachel Maddow. She usually gets it right. In this case, she got it completely wrong. She pointed out, as I had previously at bradblog.com, that Iowa was voting, the Republican Party in Iowa was not requiring a photo ID to vote, even though they set all the rules for how to vote in their Iowa caucuses, and that they allow you to vote on paper, that the paper gets counted in front of the people, so that you don't have to rely on the party itself, you don't have to rely on Diebold or Sequoia or ESNS or all of these other crappy voting machine companies where you can't see votes being counted. But it was actually counted right then and there, right in front of everyone. All the things that Republicans won't allow anyone else in the country to have, they were allowed by the Republicans for their own voters in the Iowa caucuses. So at that that night on Tuesday, Mitt Romney, he is announced by the GOP as having won by 8 votes. But, you know, it's not certified yet. 8 votes out of 122,000, all counted by hand quickly after the polls closed. So they had 2 weeks to certify it, and people who we had warned in advance, particularly Ron Paul voters, are very good about this. They're very good about this. They were out there taking photos of the results at the polling place, at the caucus sites, taking photos of those tally sheets before the results were called in to the GOP headquarters. And, last Thursday or so, we found a fellow by the name of Edward True, a Ron Paul supporter, stepped forward. He said, no, at my precinct, Mitt Romney only received 2 votes, not 22 votes. And what was great was we didn't have to take Edward True's words for it. And I spoke to him over the weekend, and I believe him, and he sounds very trustworthy. But more importantly, the Appanoose County chair, the GOP chair from Appanoose County, confirmed that, yeah, Edward True had it right. Mitt Romney only got 2 votes, not 22 votes. And now someone else has stepped forward and says, yeah, he got it right. He only had 2, not 22 votes. So Rick Santorum might be the winner. Now, the thanks that Edward True got from the Republican Party is they came out and they beat the crap out of him. An unnamed spokesman, and this is horrible what they did to him. An unnamed spokesperson from the Republican Party, a cowardly unnamed spokesperson, said that, oh, Edward True has no business talking about this. He's not a GOP county chair. He's not even a caucus captain. Now, he had been a counter. He had volunteered to count all the ballots. But anyway, he's not a GOP county chair. He's not a caucus counter. He has no business, quote, he has no business talking about our election results. Well, excuse me, unnamed GOP spokeswoman. He has every business talking about election results. This is his election that he participated in. And how dare you say that about him? The Republican Party ought to be thanking Edward True because apparently Edward True had it right and the GOP reported it wrong. They didn't count it wrong. They reported it wrong. And this is what I hold against Rachel Maddow, because she pointed all of these things out and then she made fun of the GOP for not being able to count right. Well, you know what? Out of 122,000 votes, if this is the only problem we have, a typo, if you will, that says 22 votes instead of 2 votes, I think that's damn good. Now, there might have been another problem. We'll see. The GOP says there was another 21 votes that might have been accidentally given to Santorum. The whole thing will be certified on Tuesday, but we won't have to trust them because we have people, thousands of eyeballs, who were watching the ballots be counted. We shouldn't be making fun of the GOP for this. We should be celebrating them for doing this, for allowing this. This is not an indictment of their system. This is a tribute to the system. The system worked. The citizenry could oversee it. And that's the way every election in this nation ought to run. I'm Brad Friedman. This is the Nightmare on Molloy Street. Stay with us.
It's Friday the 13th, and Mike Molloy is nowhere to be found. This is Nightmare on Molloy Street.
The whole thing is just a dream.
With Brad Friedman.
Wake up!
Welcome back. This is your nightmare, America. Someone gave Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com 3 hours of an open mic across your public airwaves. Oh, yeah, and coast to coast and around the globe to boot on Sirius XM 127 and on the internets and everywhere else. Stop on by the BradBlog.com chat room. Jump in. Join the nightmare. You can also give us a call, 877-520-1150. Next hour, we're going to have some news, some breaking news, the latest on the recall Walker effort in Wisconsin. Going to be joined by Graham Zielinski of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. And as I... As I mentioned in the first hour, if nothing else, this is perhaps your nightmare, because I'm delighted to have right-wingers call in and tell me where I've gotten something wrong. Tell me where I've gotten anything wrong. But they never do. Well, I don't know what's up with it. Sometimes they do. So if you want to call in, if you disagree with me, if you think that if you want to condemn the Republicans of Iowa for allowing people to vote without a photo ID restriction in place, by all means, give me a call. Tell me how the Republicans of Iowa are trying to support voter fraud at the polling place. Come on, let's hear from you, right-wingers. 877-520-1150 is our number, and I'm going to then talk about New Hampshire and South Carolina and, maybe even Iran and the New York Times. I got a lot to talk about today, but these are your public airwaves. So we do want to hear from you. And speaking of your public airwaves, man, look who's decided to call us. Hey, Nicole.
Hey, Brad.
Welcome to the Mike Molloy Show, Nicole.
Well, thank you.
It's the lovely Nicole Sandler of the RadioOrNot.com network, and who's also Randy Rhoads' regular guest host. And apparently, now you tweeted me, Nicole, you were driving and you thought you had to give me a call, and guest hosts unite?
Guest hosts unite. We have our own little union going, don't we?
We do. Very little union.
Very little union.
Very
two
little.
Members.
Yeah.
Yes, and by, you know, I'll be filling in for Randy on Monday, and I heard you're in for Brad tonight, and you know.
No, no, I'm in for Malloy
in
tonight.
Mike tomorrow. Yeah. You know what? I'm so sorry. We're just coming home from a wine tasting.
I see.
Can you tell?
Are you driving?
No.
Oh, good. But, you know, that reminds me, I remember there was a guy, it was this dope who, I'm sorry, this very nice fella out in New York who used to fill in on TV. He was a guest host on Live at 5 in New York. His name was Tony Gaida. And,
I remember him.
You remember Tony Gaida? And
And
I'll never forget, one day he came in and he was the guest host that night or whatever, and he came in and he said, good evening, I'm Tony Gaida, who is off tonight? Yeah.
So, I guess he was.
Yeah. So yeah. I am filling in for Brad. And how can I help you?
Well, Mike.
Nicole. Yeah.
I'm wondering. So there, a guy named True, they're saying he's a liar?
Yeah, that's it. Yes.
Wow.
They didn't say he's a liar. What they said was he has no business talking about elections. And then the head of the Iowa Republican Party, Matthew Strawn, actually head of Iowa elections, came out and said, well, we won't address, this was great. He said, out of respect for the candidates, we will not address rumors and innuendo about any one precinct. In other words, they wouldn't answer. They wouldn't confirm whether these people who were watching the counting got it right. They, you know, sort of smeared them as conspiracy theorists. Meanwhile, what do you mean out of respect for the candidates? Out of respect for the candidate, it looks to
an accurate count.
Yeah,
you?
Well, it looks to me like Rick Santorum won. And one of the clips I was going to play, but the quality's not good enough, was actually off of MSNBC. They've been running around all week saying, you know, Mitt Romney won Iowa. He won New Hampshire. Now, right. Will he win South Carolina? And that's what, and Romney came out and said, we made history on New Hampshire night.
Well, that's the
thing. History.
They have been saying he made history because he's the first, you know, candidate in so many election cycles to win both Iowa and New Hampshire.
Except we don't know that he did. Does it matter?
No, I guess not.
Apparently it doesn't. And by the way, it doesn't apparently matter in New Hampshire either, because in New Hampshire, while 40% of the towns actually count their ballots by hand at the polling place in front of all the people, the way they did across the entire state of Iowa, that's the good news. However, in those 40% of those towns, it's only equal to 10%. Of the votes that are cast. The other 90% are cast on paper ballots, but they're counted by Diebold optical scan machines. And they're programmed by a company named LHS, who programs them all across the Northeast, with a criminal background. The vice president of the company actually was pled no contest to narcotics trafficking a few years ago. That's who's counting the ballots. But even worse than that, Nicole, they didn't bother to count the ballots. They just announced the results at 8 p.m. Eastern time based on exit polls.
Well, of course they did. Because you know that Mitt Romney is the anointed candidate. Sorry, shouldn't have called in after drinking wine. But
you're much funnier when you have. Yeah.
Thank you. It's his turn, just like it was John McCain's turn 4 years ago, and I think it will be Jeb Bush's turn in 4 years.
Okay, maybe it's his turn. So, meaning it's his turn, so we don't need to count ballots.
Yeah, they don't care.
It doesn't matter what the people
care. Well, obviously, if a guy named True said, look, that he only got 2 votes, not 22 votes, and they beat him up. Did they really beat him up?
They did. They said he has no business talking. He's not a county chair.
They literally beat him up.
No, not literally. Not yet. Not yet. We'll see what happens. He's a good guy. He's a Ron Paul supporter. He said this is the first time he's gone out to the caucuses. He told me that he could not believe the treatment that he was getting when he had it right. I mean, he signed an affidavit. But moving forward to New Hampshire, Nicole, they announced it based on the exit polls. Now, you're in Florida. I know you've been in Florida. I know you saw what happened in 2000. You saw what happened in 2004.
Yes.
Weren't we told that the exit polls are not to be relied on? That the exit polls are wrong? We can't count on them?
That's exactly what they told us. Because in the election, it was flipped from what the exit polls told us.
But that's right. In 2004, John Kerry won all of these swing states based on the exit polls. But no, you can't trust the exit polls.
Supposedly counted the ballots, it was the opposite.
Right.
It had almost been as if the votes flipped.
Yeah. Almost. Yeah, pretty much like exactly. And by the way, in New Hampshire, you know what? I'll let you go because you're driving and you're drunk.
Okay.
You're driving drunk.
I am a little bit. Yeah. Well, I'm passengering, buzzed,
it
were.
All right.
But anyway, it's so good to hear you in for Mike.
Well, thank you, Nicole.
It's an enjoyable drive home.
Thank you. Well, enjoy the drive, and thanks to your cats, Shano and Kenny Pick. They put together our Nightmare on Malloy Street clips
that.
Tonight. They're hysterical.
They are. Time lineup at RadioOrNot.com.
There you go. Well done.
There you go.
All right.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you for calling in. Have a good weekend, and enjoy yourself on Randy's show Monday.
Will do. I'll talk to you later.
See you, baby. Bye. All right. That's Nicole Sandler, our pal. Glad she called in. Drunk as a skunk, by the way. You can call in, drunk or otherwise, 877-520-1150. In 2008, in New Hampshire. I don't know if you remember this. I don't know if you remember what happened back in 2008 in New Hampshire. But you remember that Barack Obama had won the Iowa caucus. And then a week later, it's New Hampshire. And everyone says that he's going to clean up. He's ahead of Hillary Clinton by, I can't remember what the point spread was, but it looked like he was going to just destroy Hillary Clinton in New Hampshire, in the first in the nation primaries in New Hampshire. And then all of a sudden, once again, as soon as the polls closed, they start announcing, guess what? Hillary Clinton won. Nobody can explain it. Keith Olbermann called it a Titanic upset victory. That's a quote. NBC's Tim Russert, who was still with us at the time, called it, quote, the most stunning upset in the history of politics. No one could explain it. 2 days later, Chris Matthews, also on NBC, he was still mystified by what had happened. He could not understand why all of these independent polls, pre-election polls, had said that Barack Obama was going to win in a landslide. It was actually, let's see, what did the, he said 8 points. Yeah, Obama was ahead in those polls by an average of 8 points. And then on the exit polls, the polls that are taken as people walk out of the booth, the polls that are the most accurate of all type of polling, they all said, according to Chris Matthews, see, we don't know for sure because the exit poll, they don't let us see the raw data anymore, not since 2004. But all of the exit polls, according to Chris Matthews, said that Obama was going to win handily. And as a matter of fact, I have an email that I received from a very famous pollster who never gave me the permission to run the email. But he told me, as I was looking into this, that yes, he too was looking at the raw data on Election Day in New Hampshire in 2008 and saw that it was going to be a landslide for Barack Obama. But then we got the numbers back from the Diebold machines, and the Diebold machines said that Hillary Clinton won. And everybody was asking, how could we have gotten it so wrong? All these pollsters, all these pundits, all these politicos, how could we have gotten it so wrong? How is it that all of these independent pre-election polls and the exit polls the day of all got it so wrong? Not one of them bothered to ask, oh, I wonder if the results were right. Now, you would think that they would bother to, you know, count the ballots first before making a pronouncement like that, but they didn't. When the polls are so different from the results that are coming off from the computer, they didn't. They just called it a great upset. So in 2008, the polls were, the exit polls, they were wrong. But the other night, well, they were good enough to call it for Mitt Romney. No problem, no questions, no concerns. By the way, back in 2008, it was close enough that Barack Obama could have had the entire state hand-counted for $2,000. Yes, you heard me right, $2,000, not $2 million, $2,000. He said, no, that's okay. We'll move on. We're going on to South Carolina. Dennis Kucinich stepped forward, saw all the problems that had occurred in that election, all the questions that people had about the results. He raised $60,000. He was a candidate at the time. He raised $60,000 to count about 40% of the state. $60,000. Remember, Barack Obama could have done it for $2,000. So Dennis Kucinich, he raised $60,000, started counting ballots, and what do you know, counting them by hand, and what do you know, they were wrong. Hundreds of votes were wrong, disparities all across the state. And he got to the point where he said, you know what, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to keep paying money to the first in the nation, New Hampshire, paying my money, raising money from people, and seeing all of these mistakes. I'm calling on the state of New Hampshire to count the entire state by hand, given all of the disparities that we saw. And that was the letter that he sent to the Secretary of State, Bill Gardner, who is still, but he was, Bill Gardner, Secretary of State of New Hampshire, was first sworn in 1976. So what is that, 36, 37 years he's been the Secretary of State of New Hampshire? Do you know anybody who is in an elected office? He's appointed, been appointed by the Republicans and Democrats both from the New Hampshire legislature. Do you know anybody other than third world dictators and, you know, backstreet, you know, redneck sheriffs down in the South who are in office for 36 years? And yet Bill Gardner, the Secretary of State of New Hampshire, he's in there for 36 years. And he gets that letter from Dennis Kucinich, saying, Mr. Gardner, there are miscounts 5 to 10% in precincts all over the state. Please count the entire state so we can know who really won the New Hampshire, the first in the nation primary that you guys make billions of dollars from each year. Billions of dollars rides on the New Hampshire first in the nation primary. And Bill Gardner turned around, went to the media, figuring they didn't have the letter. We have it on bradblog.com. You can still read it there today. He went to the media and said, well, Dennis Kucinich was satisfied with the recount. Everything was fine. No problems. And that was that. Until 4 years later, when we just rely on the election, on the exit polls to tell us who won, who lost. What does it matter? The exit polls said at this time, starting to think Americans don't really get a say in their own elections. We'll see. Brad in for Malloy. Stay with us. Friday the 13th, the nightmare on Malloy Street continues. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, Brad of bradblog.com. Glad you could join us. Boy, I got a lot to talk about tonight. I think we may have to invoke the fourth hour again tonight, Tony. So stay tuned. This is a notice to affiliates. We may be running over. Okay. No. To all the engineers out there, we're not running over. I just don't want to. See, Tony's cracking up because he knows there's people all over the country going, oh, my God, what? They're going to go to the fourth hour? What? They're going to run over? All right. let me get to a call here. We're going to be joined in the next hour, by the way, by Graham Zielinski from Wisconsin with some new news on the Walker recall Walker effort. Very exciting, fresh news. And, well, let me get to the call so I don't have time to tell you about South Carolina. I'll just put it this way for the moment. A week from tomorrow, they're going to vote across the entire state on 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting systems. Yes, the same ones that elected this guy, Alvin Green, who nobody had ever heard of, to be the, U.S. Senate nominee for the Democrats in 2010. 100% unverifiable. Whatever those machines say, that's going to be the winner. And there's nothing that no one can do about it. Or something like that. William in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Welcome to the Malloy Show. What's up, William?
Hi, Brad.
Hey.
Well, I just wanted to tell you my experience. You know, I'm a big Democrat, and I've been to, you know, maybe half a dozen gubernatorial conventions and voting, and I know all of that stuff. So I had a candidate I was working with, a really great guy, and he was going to run in the Republican thing. And, you know, I believed in him so much, I thought, well, I'll go to the Republican state convention.
Yeah.
So we went down to Socorro, New Mexico, and, you know, I was thinking, well, what kind of credentials do you need? What do you, you know, how do you do this? And I just noticed a lot of winking and that kind of thing. And so then it finally came up for voting. And I thought, oh, what kind of ballots are they going to use, you know? And you know, and we had whips and stuff like this all appointed so we could make sure that, you know, our name got out and blah, blah, blah. And then they whip out their ballots and their Post-it notes. I could not believe it.
Well,
and they had been in the state legislature saying there was fraud and this and that and...
Well, they don't care. On their own elections, they don't care. Were the Post-it notes filled out in advance?
Well, almost.
Almost,
you know,
yeah.
You know, how close is the nearest Office Depot? Can I get some
money? Get some Post-it notes and do them yourself.
Yeah.
This, hey, listen, that's New Mexico. And, you know, where occasionally they have paper. Actually, they do now have paper ballots, thanks to the disaster you guys had in 2004 with your touchscreen machines.
Oh, yeah.
But then those ballot boxes are disappearing in the middle of the night. They're taking them home with them instead of counting them right then and there in front of the people.
Yeah, we'd have to do a whole nother show on New Mexico.
Yeah. You're right.
Elections.
You got that right. William, I got to run. I got a hard break. I appreciate your call. Thanks for calling in. The Nightmare on Malloy Street continues. Brad in for Mike Malloy. Coming up, Graham Zielinski, the spokesperson from the Wisconsin State Democratic Party, with some news on the Wisconsin recall Walker effort. Oh, much more straight ahead. Stay with us.
In a world where Mike Malloy has the night off, and Brad Friedman is the only voice you hear on your radio. It's Friday the 13th. Nightmare on Malloy Street.
Yes,
rated GOP 17. Right wingers not admitted without an adult.
Right wingers without an adult. What happened there? What happened, Tony? You see, Friday the 13th strikes again. Everything falls apart. Glad you could join us, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, occupying your public airwaves, broadcasting from the left coast tonight, live from Los Angeles, actually a beautiful downtown Burbank, as we like to say. And my thanks again to Shane O and Kenny Pick for those awesome Friday the 13th Nightmare on Malloy Street bumpers. If only Tony could learn how to play them without screwing up. Selling you out, aren't I? Yeah, that's what I do. We're going to get back to your calls in a little bit at 877-520-1150. And so far, no right-wingers calling in. I don't understand why. I thought they would you know, tell me how there's all this voter fraud that needs to be stopped, that we need photo ID for. Oh, I'm going to be talking about James O'Keefe this hour, too. My pal. Is he still out of jail? Yeah, for now. Okay, but we've got some breaking news, some very exciting news that I want to get to right now. Oh, and you can stop by the bradblog.com chat room, and you can tweet me at The Brad Blog. Okay? All the business done? Cool. Let's go to, good, we got him here. Graham Zielinski, the spokesperson for the Wisconsin State Democratic Party, joins us with some, I think, some pretty exciting news about what's going on in the recall Scott Walker effort, which really began, I think, in earnest just about a year ago. Now we've been covering this thing when Walker immediately started with his anti-union stuff, and the folks in Wisconsin stood up for themselves, made noise, and the fight continues as they attempt to unseat Scott Walker, the Republican governor, in a recall. And the deadline, the 60-day deadline, is coming up. I think it's Sunday. But because it's a Sunday, they don't have to turn in their signatures. Monday is a holiday. I think I've got it right. It's Martin Luther King Day. So the 60 days ends on Tuesday. Will the Democrats come in with enough signatures to put Scott Walker on the ballot? Let's find out with Graham Zielinski, spokesperson for the Democratic Party. Hey, Graham, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, thank you for having me. And you're right. Monday's still a holiday here. They haven't changed it to Stonewall Jackson Day here yet.
They haven't.
They might. They might.
It could happen any time. They'll just ram that through without anybody, no public meetings in advance.
Robert E. Lee Day. Yeah, Robert E. Lee Day, whatever they do in Virginia to spit on MLK Day. I wouldn't pass them here.
But so far, it's still MLK Day on Monday. So Tuesday, January 17, is now the deadline. 60 days you guys have had to get over a half a million signatures to recall Scott Walker. Are you going to come up with those numbers to turn in Tuesday? Did you get all the signatures that are going to be needed?
Well, there's a couple of points. The signatures we need are 540,208 valid signatures. That number has never been reached in Wisconsin in any kind of petition drive. Scott Walker, his political machine, tried recalling the previous Democratic governor not once but twice. They didn't even get, I don't think they got 10,000 signatures.
Really?
So this is and Scott Walker came to office himself in Milwaukee County, where I live, where I'm from. Mm-hmm. He's from Colorado or Iowa or something. But he came into being here in Milwaukee because of a recall election. So total that we're going to have ready on Tuesday, the last day to actually sign a petition is tomorrow. All our offices are going dark all around the state tonight. The last day we're going to actually collect them is Monday. People can drop them off at our field office we have going on in Madison. But when we go there to the Government Accountability Board, we said we'd get an internal number of 720,000, which we think is beyond any challenge, beyond any buffer. The governor's tried to demean the process by suggesting that there's some kind of fraud, even though we haven't submitted a single signature. So we believe that we are on track to hit that 720,000 number and trigger the recall, not just of Scott Walker, but also of his Michelle Bachmann wannabe lieutenant governor.
Rebecca Cleefish.
Who compares gay people to furniture. And, not kidding. And also four Republican senators. One of those efforts, amazingly, against the Senate Majority Leader, did all their work without a single drop of help from the party. We devoted our resources to three other races, and just by sheer will, the grassroots effort there triggered the recall of one of Scott Walker's main henchmen here in Wisconsin.
That's Fitzgerald, right?
There's two of them.
Two brothers.
I get them mixed up. They're these short little guys, these short little angry red-faced guys.
Right.
One of them's running for Senate, and one of them, they wear platform shoes.
Right.
I get them mixed up. They're not from here either. They're from Illinois, I believe.
Oh, okay.
But which is a big deal up here, but may not matter, you know, where you are. But these are more folks who are foreign to Wisconsin and brought this politics that's foreign to Wisconsin. So one of the Fitzgeralds we recalled, I forget which one. The other one's running for the U.S. Senate,
right?
I want to say
Scott Fitzgerald. We had
one of the
Fitzgeralds, but he's the Senate Majority Leader, right? And a very
one of them, yeah. And his dad, their dad runs the police, I think.
Right.
Their brother Shemp runs the DPI. I don't know, you know, all the things that they I don't know what the Fitzgeralds get into. They're a strange little bunch.
All right. But, so you got enough signatures to get even him on the up for recall?
That's what the recall committee announced today. That's what their committee, and there's these can I say badasses?
Sure.
They're these badasses up there in pretty red country.
Yeah.
That were working against such long odds, and again we're fighting so many fights. I think they've said that they recognize that we weren't able to help them because we had to put our resources in these other places. But they today announced that they have the signatures to trigger even a recall there.
This is
so that tells you the feeling here. And one thing you should know, I was just listening just a couple hours ago. The governor was poo-pooing the numbers. I think he seemed to suggest that we wouldn't do it, or that 500,000 signatures wasn't a big deal in a little state like Wisconsin. Oh. It's an enormous deal. There's a reason it's never been done before. It's historic.
It's huge. And so you're saying, speaking with Graham Zielinski, spokesperson for the Wisconsin State Democratic Party, you needed 540,000 valid signatures. You're going to be turning in on Tuesday. You'll be meeting the goal that you guys had of not just 540,000, but 720,000 signatures.
Well, that's what we're hoping.
That's what you're working for. Okay.
I'm not confirming a thing.
Okay.
We're taking nothing for granted, because we have a data processing process that's going to happen. I'm heading up there in the morning at a secure location. We know that there's been tons of Republican shenanigans.
Yes.
Over the course of this, all sorts of intimidation, all sorts of anger when they see their side losing.
They've been shoving
old ladies and
violence, beating up people, death threats.
Yeah.
We've been covering that for months here. Yep.
Yeah. And look, I'll be honest. We didn't hype that, and we knew it was going on, and we've been recording it, and we've been preparing affidavits. We didn't want to let them win and shut down the process by brute force. And so we have deliberately not been as, I guess, shining the spotlight on it as much as you have, because we didn't want it to become the kind of freak show that Scott Walker wanted. It's been a very orderly process, other than a bunch of bad apples. But I can't deny that there has been a coordinated attempt by these Tea Party thugs and by others to intimidate people exercising their democracy, exercising their rights.
Yep.
The worst one to me was when they went after some African Americans in the central city of Milwaukee, this group that's just like your James O'Keefe friend, this racist group funded by a Virginia strangio. It's called Media Trackers. It's one of these fake news organizations or fake watchdogs.
Right.
They went in and shoved cameras in the faces of African Americans who were voting or who were signing petitions, and then went to the media suggesting that they were somehow underage because they didn't look the way they wanted them to look. And we had to track them down and figure out that these women were of age. And then they libeled and slandered the volunteer that was collecting the petitions, suggesting he had done something wrong. He had to withstand all sorts of right-wing slander and libel over several days. And again, they went after a vulnerable population. And now the same group that was involved in voter caging, a voter caging scheme, if you're not familiar with, is a way to suppress votes, voters by kicking them off the roll by sending them bad pieces of mail.
Yep.
That same group that's involved in a voter caging scheme, which is Scott Walker's cat's paw, admitted to coordinating with the Republican Party and Reince Priebus when he was chair here. That group is now going to be involved in some kind of recall integrity center. So these thugs, this despicable group that calls itself the Grandsons of Liberty, that has up and down its leadership people with rap sheets a mile long for wife beating and for being drunks and rage heads, this group is going to try to insert itself into our process here now, even at the late date, try to suggest that there's fraud. Now, thanks for letting me give me a line here. So what they're really trying to do, and what Scott Walker is trying to do, is delay.
Cause
if the election were held today, a cabbage would win.
You think so? All right. Well, listen, Graham, hang on. Can you hang on through the break? Because
I
have some questions, because I want to ask you about this lawsuit that they're trying to pull off here. It's unbelievable.
Sure.
All right. Speaking with Graham Zielinski from the Wisconsin State Democratic Party about this the recall effort. They needed 540,000 signatures, and when you guys announced this effort, by the way, with a goal of getting 9,000 a day, I'm thinking, no way are they going to be able to get 9,000 signatures a day in Wisconsin. But it looks like in the middle of winter, but it looks like they may have gotten that much and more to get not just Governor Walker on the ballot, but his lieutenant governor, Rebecca Clefish, and four GOP senators as well on the ballot. So I got some more questions for Graham Zielinski coming up after this. Our shout out tonight to the grassroots North Shore organized, the folks who organized the campaign on Milwaukee's North Shore. They're partying tonight, celebrating the upcoming recall of Scott Walker. Have fun out there tonight, guys. Looks like it's going to be a fun couple of weeks here. Brad, in for Malloy. Stay with us. There we go. Welcome back. It's Friday the 13th. This is your nightmare on Molloy Street. Brad Friedman in for Mike Molloy. Glad you could join us. We're speaking with Graham Zielinski on this Friday the 13th. Not a nightmare at all up in Wisconsin, where I think they're pretty jubilant tonight, as it looks like they're going to turn in all of the needed signatures and then some for the recalls of Governor Scott Walker, his Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clefish, and four Republican state senators next Tuesday, right after the Monday holiday. Incredibly, 720,000 signatures. That was their goal. We'll see if they get it. All they needed was more than 540,000. And of course, the Republicans up there have already been screaming fraud, fraud. They've got Mickey Mouse. They've got Adolf Hitler on there. Well, of course, no, they don't. But Graham Zielinski of the State Democratic Party joins us here. Graham, you guys have a pretty thorough process. You're already putting all of those names into a database to check for duplicates and everything else before you turn them in, correct?
Well, let's make some points here.
Yeah.
Scott Walker was involved in several recall efforts, mm-hmm. including against Senator Russ Feingold, against Senator Herb Kolb, against the former Democratic Governor Jim Doyle. His political machine actually launched two recalls against Jim Doyle, which I don't think got 10,000 signatures.
Mm-hmm.
So the process was just fine back then, way back then. You go on the Wayback Machine. The process for processing the signatures, collecting the signatures, basically has been in place for almost a century.
Right.
The reformers that put recall into our laws in the 1920s, the progressives contemplated a lot of stuff, and there was a lot of remedies available to Scott Walker and all the parties involved. But all of a sudden, they've come up with all these novel new frames, and one of the biggest frames they've done, and they've done it using the right wing media echo machine,
mm-hmm.
funded by the same people that are funding Scott Walker, the Koch brothers.
My pals, the Koch brothers. Yeah,
your pals at the Koch brothers.
Yeah,
they have created this narrative when we haven't submitted a single damn signature.
Right.
We haven't submitted one, so there is no fraud because there have been no signatures submitted. So what has happened now is the right-wing squawk brigade here in Wisconsin is aided and abetted by some of the biggest media companies in the state, have been using these frantic tones to talk about fraud, and Mickey Mouse and Adolf Hitler. Now, let's look back. When the Republicans were trying to recall Democrats in the summer, they were the ones that were caught forging names. They brought in these out-of-state road agents to collect signatures, and who they were paid per signature to collect against Democrats. They couldn't get actual people to go out there in these districts and collect signatures against our good Democratic senators, all who won the election.
They had to throw out thousands of signatures fraudulent.
Yep. That were fraudulent, that were obvious forgeries. A Democratic assemblyman, his dad's name was forged. The problem was his dad was been dead for 10 years. So,
right.
So look, I mean, I think they complain a little too much. I think, like I said before, the only thing left for Scott Walker right now is to delay. And this is part of that effort. What you're going to see next, the next step isn't going to be let's get a candidate, and that will come. The next step is a blizzard of legal maneuvering by Scott Walker using all this money. He's put $6 million on the air, he and his pals, to try to rehab his image, and it hasn't changed a single poll. In fact, he's gotten even worse than some polls.
Graham, hang on. I ran along the previous segment. Can you stick around for one more quick segment after
sure.
the news break here? All right.
Yeah, the Bucks are getting killed. I don't need to go anywhere.
You don't have to watch. Good. Stay put. Right. Graham Zielinski of the Wisconsin State Democratic Party. Brad Friedman in for Mike Molloy. Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Molloy Street continues. Stay with us.
It's Friday the 13th. And Mike Molloy is nowhere to be found.
Nightmare on Molloy Street.
This is Nightmare on Molloy Street.
The whole thing is just a dream.
With Brad Friedman.
Wake up!
Make it stop! Oh, the nightmare continues. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. My thanks again to our pals Shano and Kenny Pick for the great work on their Nightmare on Molloy Street bumpers there. Another minute or two, and then we're going to go to your calls. 877-520-1150. I also do need to talk about my pal James O'Keefe here, speaking of nightmares. But just a few more minutes here, because I had a couple of quick questions I want to hit with Graham Zelensky of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. They're prepared, it looks like, on Tuesday to turn in hundreds and thousands of signatures, finally, at the end of this 60-day period, to recall Scott Walker once and for all, to get him on the ballot, along with his lieutenant governor and four Republican state senators. It's a remarkable story. Okay, Graham, they have been doing all manner of things. They've been there's been arrests. Folks have been arrested after beating up signature gatherers, sending them death threats, destroying petitions, burning, scratching them out, defacing them. All kinds of fraud, stuff that would be called voter fraud if it was reversed and Republicans thought Democrats were doing it. And of course, they would just make it up. And they've already done that. They've, you know, you've got Rush Limbaugh going on air saying Adolf Hitler and Mickey Mouse are signing petitions to get Scott Walker. All, you know, stuff and nonsense. But now you've got Scott Walker going to court. They've changed the laws in Wisconsin. It used to be that if the parties wanted to go to court, they had to go in Dane County, which is not right wing, like, say, Waukesha County, where Scott Walker and the Republican Party have now brought this lawsuit challenging this entire process. All of a sudden, this process that Scott Walker himself has used time and again, now he says, oh, the process isn't fair. And they found a Waukesha judge who said, who agreed with him, and not only agreed with him, but when the Democrats, when you guys tried to intervene in this lawsuit to be a party to it, they said, no, you were not welcome to be a party to it. And now the Democrats have appealed that decision. Now, is there going to be a hearing? Has a hearing yet been scheduled by the Court of Appeal on that emergency stay that the Democratic Party has filed to stop this these shenanigans by Scott Walker to try to stop the recall?
I'm not sure that we'll found that appeal, but one thing is clear. We're going to fight for the rights of all these petitioners who signed. That's whose rights are in jeopardy. Hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites called this election. They wanted it called. Scott Walker wants to put that in jeopardy. And this judge you're talking about is a former Republican state senator
yep.
who served as a character witness for another Republican elected official who was convicted of crimes. So this is an in-the-pocket judge who the Republicans went venue shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Look, bottom line, if Scott Walker's the next greatest thing since sliced bread, put him before the public. If he's so great, if his reforms are great, if kicking 30,000 kids off of Badger Care in time for Christmas is so great, if all these things are so great, let the people of Wisconsin vote on it. And don't hide behind the skirts of some Republican judges. Don't hide behind the skirts of some claims of fraud. Go ahead and be the He-Man that you guys claim to be. And put your Eagle Scout in front of the electorate.
So at best they can try to delay this process.
Yeah.
If they're successful, maybe it'll be delayed at best. But this is going to happen. And what is the time?
Yeah. Scott Walker and Rebecca Clayfish themselves have said this is inevitable. So any challenges to this are merely to buy him time to raise unlimited sleazy corporate cash. He was just down in Texas with his biggest contributor, the Swift Boat coward, who's a Vietnam veterans.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all that this is time to get money, shakedown. We hear that Las Vegas guy, that Adelson guy, is going to write a big millions-dollar check to him.
Oh,
so,
really?
He's putting his filthy little hands in Wisconsin,
I'll tell you what, Graham. When I did I broke a story over the summer at bradblog.com and at Mother Jones about these the Koch brothers, their secret meeting out in Colorado, and
right.
You know, had audio tapes of inside these summer seminars. And we did a piece at Mother Jones. Gavin Aronson did a sort of a sidebar piece looking at all of the people who Charles Koch had announced, who had thanked for giving more than $1 million. And we sort of detailed who these people were. And about half of them in this room in Colorado with the Koch brothers, about half of them had given tens of thousands of dollars to the Wisconsin effort, the Supreme Court effort backing David Prosser. I mean, this is not just a Wisconsin effort. These Republicans across the nation are behind what is going on in Wisconsin.
Leave us alone. They're making us a petri dish for all this weird stuff. I mean, this isn't the Wisconsin anybody recognizes. These are programs. These are institutions that were built up in a bipartisan fashion. Tommy Thompson built up about half the programs that Scott Walker's tearing down now, which is why they detest each other, by the way.
The former Republican governor. All right, Graham, let me get real quick, just a couple of quick questions here. Will the Republicans' polling place photo ID restrictions be in place for these recall elections, as far as you know?
They're supposed to be in effect. Many of the provisions are supposed to be in effect right now. So, we've been doing a lot of education along with our outreach here. So,
okay.
I think voter suppression is. Here for the immediate future.
That's not going to be good. I'm quite concerned about that, and I'm also concerned about the Democratic Party overseeing the election, to avoid the concerns that we had in that Supreme Court election last spring between Joanne Kloppenburg and David Prosser. Do you guys have a good election integrity effort? Not one of those fake ones, not none of these voter integrity. I know the voters are doing fine, but election integrity to make sure paper ballots, chain of custody and so forth is all overseen.
You know, we were not involved in that election. We did not coordinate at all with that election. We sat that one out. We are going to aggressively defend our rights here, and we know the dirty tricks that they're capable of. One thing you mentioned, all this intimidation stuff. All these dirty tricks start at the top. The signals that Scott Walker sent when he was willing to put troublemakers and incite violence in peaceful crowds. He said he was willing to lie to senators to get them to come back to Wisconsin. The dirty tricks start at the top. Scott Walker has been running crooked campaigns and dirty campaigns and dishonest campaigns his whole life. So it stands to reason that the dirty tricks and the messages about the kind of dishonesty you could use to win an election would start at the top right here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and they have been, and we've been covering a lot of it at bradblog.com. They are playing dirty, so hopefully you guys, you clearly had the effort to get all these signatures. Now let's hope you get the effort to not just get out the vote, but to get out and watch the vote. Graham Zielinski, before I let you go, someone has a quick question for you. You mind taking a quick call here?
Sure, no problem.
All right, Bruce in Santa Paula, California. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. Bruce, what's your question for Graham Zielinski?
You alluded to the out-of-state paid signature gatherers that the Republicans were using earlier last year. I just hope that, and in other states as well, that you guys, when you finally get a Democratic governor in there, that you outlaw paid signature gathering completely. What I've seen in Wisconsin is what recall should be. It's people upset, people getting out and working to accomplish a goal. And no paid signature gatherers, and there's no earthly reason why anybody should be paid to gather signatures.
And Bruce, you're in California. You know how these paid signature operators work.
It's
terrible. It really is. Thanks for that call, Bruce.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention so that anybody anywhere else in the country that do the same damn thing.
Yeah, appreciate all it. Right. Graham, have you guys had to pay signature gatherers from out of state or from anywhere else?
No,
or is this
we
all?
Our movement is homegrown, and Scott Walker wants people to believe otherwise. I should note that one of the Republican signature gatherers was a violent felon who had drugged his victim, and he went on to commit a crime at Lambeau Field, which is, sacred holy ground here in Wisconsin. So Scott Walker's defenders paid a violent felon to go and desecrate our holy of holies here in Wisconsin. So I'm all for banning. I think our party would be all for banning paid signatures. We have a homegrown movement here. We have at least 30,000 volunteers who did hundreds of thousands of work hours to make this happen. So this is a people-powered movement. And if anybody wants to help, they can go to recallwalkerhq.com and look at the opportunities for you to help from afar here.
Recallwalkerhq.com. Very quickly, earliest date that this election will be held as if things move forward?
Well, again, if you look at the statutes, it should be held in May. But again, the Republicans are trying to delay and delay. But the sooner the better. Go ahead.
So it could be as early as May, more likely June or July at this rate, depending on how they can stall it as long as possible.
Yes, correct.
Okay. All right, Graham. Good luck, brother. It's going to get ugly out there, but man, the way the people have stood up in Wisconsin, in the Badger State, is just the pride of the nation. So thank you, Wisconsin. Thank you for showing us all what it's like when people stand up and fight for their government. We the people standing up, man, it's just been impressive and an object lesson for the entire country. So thank you, Graham. Appreciate it. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Yes, thank you. Keep us in your prayers if you do that, or go to Recall Walker HQ if you don't.
Very good. RecallWalkerHQ.com, I think. Graham Zielinski from the Republican Party. Democratic Party. I got to get this straight. Okay, your phone calls next, 877-520-1150. Brad in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us. Nightmare continues. It's Friday the 13th. Nightmare on Malloy Street. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Brad of bradblog.com. Glad you could join us here tonight. Our phone numbers are 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Right-wingers go to the top of the line, and I was about to go to Billy, who was going to give me some hell about photo ID or something, but he left, Billy from Texas. And what happened to Noe and Hack in Texas, too? Trouble with the phone lines in Dallas? I don't know what's going on. All right, 877-520-1150. Next hour, nothing but your calls and maybe a visit from Desi Doyen. Oh, do we have a Friday the 13th tune for Desi Doyen, our producer? Yeah, is that nearby, Tony? Can you see that? See, he's never ready for this. You found it there? Yeah, go ahead, play it.
No one should be alone in a nightmare. That's why Desi Doyen is pulling the strings.
Pull the string! Pull the string!
So, Desi will be joining us maybe in the next hour to pull the strings here on the Mike Malloy Show. 877-520-1150. This James O'Keefe jackass is out with another phony video trying to create a problem that doesn't exist concerning voter fraud. In-person voter fraud. Which, of course, doesn't happen. It doesn't happen, certainly not in New Hampshire, where they are ticked off at James O'Keefe, who his little conspirators went in, claimed, you know, found people who had died recently, so they hadn't been removed from the rolls yet. He goes in, has these guys ask for ballots in the names of these people, and what? Commits voter fraud at the New Hampshire primary to prove that voter fraud exists, which it doesn't. And now even the Republican mayor of Manchester is ticked off, told New Hampshire union leader that James O'Keefe and his co-conspirators, quote, should be arrested and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Nashua City Clerk, and that's a Republican, by the way, Republican mayor, Nashua City Clerk Paul Bergeron was on MSNBC yesterday, I believe, with Al Sharpton, who asked if O'Keefe's little scammer boys broke the law in obtaining ballots with the names of these recently deceased people.
Well, in my belief, they did, and certainly I know the Attorney General's office is investigating the matter. These people went up to the checklist table and presented themselves as being people that they were not, and our election laws state that anyone who poses as a different individual as to their qualifications as a voter has committed a crime in our election laws, and they're subject to a civil penalty of up to $5,000. They took physical possession of the ballots, and that, to me, shows that they were acting in an illegal manner.
Yeah, they were acting in an illegal manner. Yes, they committed voter fraud. Yes, it appears that they broke both New Hampshire law and possibly federal law. And aside from the election code in both New Hampshire and federal, it looks like they have broke the wiretap law, too. Again, a law that James O'Keefe ought to be very familiar with, since he had to plead guilty to a crime down in in Louisiana, where he was caught in a wiretap plot in a U.S. senator's office. James O'Keefe was. And he's now facing a lawsuit out here in California from an Acorn worker in San Diego who also had his privacy violated by James O'Keefe's secret audio and videotaping. Punk. The Nashua, New Hampshire city clerk, Paul Bergeron, who was on MSNBC, he said that there has only been one case of voter fraud out of millions of votes, more than 3 million votes cast in New Hampshire since 2000. The way Sharpton put it is that they had one case. So with these dozen cases that James O'Keefe has now pulled off, they increased it by 1,200% in New Hampshire.
Yeah, you don't prove that there's been voter fraud by committing it yourself. He's establishing an activity that creates a voter fraud situation, and it's his own activity that should be looked at and prosecuted.
Yes, it should have been looked at and prosecuted long ago. I love the quote from election law expert Rick Hassan, who said, well, what's James O'Keefe going to do next? Rob a bank with a toy gun to show us that that can be done too? God, he's a jackass. All right, let me play one or two more. I know I got folks hanging on the line, but I'm going to come up to a break here. So you guys, if you're on the line, if you can, please hang on. I'd like to talk to all of you and more at 877-520-1150 after the break. After 12 years, a city clerk, Paul Bergeron, the Nashua city clerk in New Hampshire, think that voter fraud is actually a problem in the state?
I have not seen enough instances of any voter fraud in the state. I know that the Attorney General's office investigates any claims of voter fraud and have not found any to be of substance.
No, there is none. None of substance. None at all. There is no voter fraud going on of any substance at the polling place. That's not how it's done. Ask the Republican Secretary of State of Indiana, where they instituted the first photo ID restriction law. Ask him how voter fraud is done, because he did it. He's facing 3 counts of voter fraud himself, the Secretary of State, the chief election official in the state of Indiana, who a judge has ordered removed from office due to his own voter fraud that was not stopped by Indiana's photo ID restrictions. Photo ID restrictions are meant for nothing more than to suppress the votes of the elderly, of the minorities, of the students. In other words, those folks who tend to vote Democratic. Bev Harris of blackboxvoting.org pointed out at Bradblog in response to my article on O'Keefe. She said, and for those who like to do math, with 247,000 votes in the New Hampshire Republican primary, you'd need to recruit, persuade, and pay 2,470 different people all over the state to walk into polling places and impersonate dead people. And if you did that, you'd be able to tamper with the vote by 1%. Nobody does it other than jackasses like James O'Keefe and Andrew Breitbart and all of their little buddies. Brother. Brad in for Malloy. Give us a call. We'll be back.
In a world where Mike Malloy has the night off and Brad Friedman is the only voice you hear on your radio. It's Friday the 13th. Nightmare on Malloy Street. Rated GOP 17. Right wingers not admitted without an adult.
Welcome back. This is the Nightmare on Malloy Street. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, occupying your public airwaves here on Friday the 13th. Give us a call if you like, 877-520-1150. I got more I can talk about, but let's hear from you. And by the way, right-wingers go to the top of the line, but we had Billy from Wimberley. He wanted to tell me how photo ID is important and how we need to suppress the votes of some 21 million Americans who don't have state-issued photo ID. But he hung up. And it's my fault. He was hanging on a long time. So call him back, right-wingers. We'd love to hear from you. Flying monkeys are welcome. 877-520-1150. Check out our bradblog.com chat room, which is very lively tonight. By the way, both Shano and Kenny Pick, who put together our bumpers, our Nightmare on Malloy Street bumpers, are in the chat room. Go on by and tell them what a good job they did. And chat and tweet me at the Brad Blog. 877-520-1150. And okay, let me finally now get to some phones. I do want to talk about Iran too. But all right, we'll get there. Hack in Dallas, Texas. Welcome, sir, to your Nightmare on Malloy Street. What's up, brother?
Good evening, Brad. Hack the Hefty Lefty here, saying you are the perfect antidote to the hair-on-fire hyperbole from the right.
well said, Hack. You need a radio show. You got one down there? You sound like you're ready to go.
You know something? My wife has been pushing me into it. Mike even complimented me on my radio voice.
But, yeah.
Well, you know, I'm just slightly off the beaten path, but I've got just the most wonderful story. My granddaughter, she'll be 7 in March, called my wife, her grandma Emma, asking about Martin Luther King. Apparently, and she just told him matter of fact that there are people out there that there are people out there who think bad thoughts, and I'll tell you what, she was just as encouraging to her as possible. It's just absolutely fantastic.
Good. Glad to hear it.
I'd like to see you. How recently did this happen with James O'Keefe? Was this just during the New Hampshire primary?
That was, last Tuesday's New Hampshire primary. He put out these videos on Wednesday, immediately began lying about them, told people, he said, unlike the establishment media, Project Veritas, which ironically named, that's his group, Project Veritas, which means truth. So but I don't think he was joking. Project Veritas posts all of the unedited raw video from our, quote, investigations. And, of course, no, they don't. They lied because we already know that one of the people who tried to vote in the name of a dead person was stopped by a poll worker, and the guy ran out of there. By the way, I think he was from Texas, this particular guy. He ran out of there, and yet when I reviewed the supposed uncut, unedited raw video from their investigation, there was no guy running out at all. So he lied. And also, I should add, by the way, because this is now being investigated, he said that someone gave him a, quote, extremely generous funder, gave him $50,000 for this project. So someone is paying for this conspiracy. And because James O'Keefe runs a tax-exempt, nonprofit, nonpartisan nonprofit. He's going to have to disclose who gave him that $50,000. It may be a while because of the way the disclosure rules work, but we're going to find out who paid him $50,000 to run a voter fraud conspiracy in the state of New Hampshire in the First of the Nation primary. Someone paid for that, and I'd love to know who you all think did it. Feel free to let me know, 877-520-1150. Yes, Hack?
Is he going to spend? Is he going to spend part of that $50,000 on a more believable pimp uniform, perchance?
Apparently not, because if you look at this video, it's like this costs $50,000. Are you kidding me? Who's the jackass out there who paid $50,000 for these crappy videos? They didn't cost $50,000, but this is about lining James O'Keefe's pockets. You see, on his application for tax exempt status, so that he can suck off the government teat and line his own pockets with this quote-unquote nonpartisan organization of his, he pays himself $120,000 a year. So whoever's out there funding this idiot, all you're doing is putting money into James O'Keefe's pockets to make up BS. Yeah, I know. Keep your hand on the dump button for me tonight, Tony. I might need it. To make up lies and nonsense and act like, you know, that pimp outfit Hack. He never wore that into an Acorn office. There was no crimes in the Acorn office. Acorn has never committed a single act of voter fraud. Never. Not anywhere. And if any right-wingers disagree, give me a call. 877-520-1150. All right, Hack.
No,
yes?
You know, it kind of surprises me with the whole Acorn thing during 2008.
Yeah.
It just happened to be in swing states.
Yeah.
And the people that Acorn, the people that were apparently collecting these signatures for Acorn, Acorn themselves turned them in.
That's right. That's right. They did. Unlike Newt Gingrich, who committed 1,500 acts of voter fraud under those same rules in the state of Virginia by turning in 1,500 fraudulent signatures, which he says were created by one guy, and yet the corporate media has had all of these debates, and nobody has thought to say, hey, Newt Gingrich, you said one guy created 1,500 acts of fraud in turning in signatures to try to get you on the Virginia ballot in your own home state. Who's the guy? What's his name? Who committed the fraud? Have you turned him in the way Acorn turned in their workers when they discovered that they were committing fraud? Anyway.
And it's my understanding that Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and Adolf Hitler and whomever.
Yeah.
They can register to vote all they want. They haven't committed voter fraud until they
That's
cast
right.
the ballot.
You've been paying attention, Hack. You're absolutely right. There is not a single fraudulent vote ever, ever cast vis-a-vis an improper registration by an Acorn worker. An Acorn worker who was defrauding Acorn was turned in by Acorn. Hack, I got to run, get some other calls. Really appreciate you calling in, and stay safe down there in Dallas. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Great talking to you. All right. And still, the right-wingers are not calling in to complain. What do I have to do to make you people complain? Don't you want to tell me how Newt Gingrich was perfectly fine in defrauding the state of Virginia by turning in 1,500 fraudulent signatures? Don't you want to call in and defend that? I don't understand. Why aren't the phones ringing off the hook from you people? 877-520-1150. Let's go to Don in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Don, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Brad. Thanks, Kevin. Hey. You're doing a really good job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. What's on your mind?
Great. So my point, and it's really simple, but I keep trying to frame it in a way that makes it complicated for everybody else to understand.
Framing what?
This voter fraud,
yeah.
Strangeness.
Mm-hmm. Well, for one, they lie about it. For one, they tell you,
"Well, I need a photo ID to get on a plane. I need a photo ID to buy a beer."
And of course, you don't. It makes it easier for you, but no, they're not going to turn away 20 million Americans from flying on a commercial airlines. They just don't. And so that's a lie. I can't remember the last time I was ever asked for a photo ID when I bought a beer. That's a lie. And besides, both of those things are privileges, not rights, not like the right to vote.
Okay.
All right.
So, yeah. If you boil that all down,
yeah,
and you want to ask a question,
yeah,
all right, sweetheart, they kept me on hold too long, and I lost my point, so I'm going to hang up.
Okay, all right.
To get to the next call.
I appreciate
I'm
that.
Sorry, I'm really sorry.
That's okay.
I apologize.
All right, that's all right. I'll let you hang up on yourself. Go ahead.
Good night.
Good night, Dawn.
Good luck.
All right.
Bye.
Goodbye. All right, let's go to, let's go to a break. Good idea. We've got to go to a break. More of your calls, 877-520-1150. Brad in It's the Nightmare on Molloy Street.
Finger in black, which points at me. All aboard!
Riding off the rails on the crazy train right here on Friday the 13th. Nightmare on Molloy Street. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Molloy. Mike will be back on Monday. Your long National Friday nightmare will be over by then. Never fear. Until then, you got me. Our phone number is 877-520-1150. Back to the phone lines in a moment, but need to point this out. Super PACs outspending candidate committees now 2-1. That's right. Super PACs, these completely phony, made-up... Super PAC is from Think Progress. Super PACs supporting candidates are now outspending those candidates' campaign committees 2-1 in South Carolina. Having already spent $7 million so far compared to a combined $3.2 million for the presidential campaigns themselves. The difference, of course, is that super PACs can accept unlimited donations, and many are largely funded by a single billionaire. This reflects a trend across the early primary states where super PACs have been spending far more than the presidential campaigns or outside expenditure groups in previous years. Super PACs were created in the wake of the Supreme Court Citizens United ruling, allowing for unlimited corporate money, and it doesn't even have to be disclosed who is spending it. That, by the way, is not good enough for the Republicans. Earlier this week, this from Rick Hassan at Election Blog. The Republican National Committee has filed a brief in the Fourth Circuit Daniel Zeke case today, arguing that for-profit corporations have the constitutional right to make campaign contributions directly now to candidates. We can do away with the whole super PAC fiction. We can just have corporations giving billions of dollars directly to candidates or directly against candidates, if you like. The Republican, the RNC, feels there's not enough money in our elections. There needs to be more. It's just free speech, right, kids? How's your free speech doing? Is your free speech, you getting as much free speech as the billionaire Koch brothers, as these billionaire, what's this guy, Adelson out from the Vegas casino magnate? You got as much free speech as them? It's just amazing. This used to be a democracy, didn't it? In theory? All right. Let's go to Bob in Moshville, Massachusetts. Is that how you say it, Bob?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing okay. How are you?
Hey, I got a question for you. I mean, yes. I have a belief, but why do you think Mitt Romney will not release his tax return?
I believe it is because, we now know, I think, as of today, that he's keeping millions of dollars offshore in, bank accounts in Cayman Islands and so forth. But most damningly, I think the fact that we are going to find out that of the millions and millions of dollars he makes, he pays a way smaller tax burden than you or I. Or anybody else. He probably pays no taxes at all on the bulk of his money, and at best maybe 15% tax rate, because all that money he makes from Bain Capital is considered to be
capital gains.
Yeah,
right. But
that's my theory.
I think he is still involved with Bain Capital, and when I saw him on TV. When he was talking about, pink slips, and he goes, the first time I was ever out of college, I even worried about a pink slip. When he left Harvard Business School, the first job he had after Harvard Business School was CEO of Bain Capital.
So he was really afraid. I can't remember who said it. Was it Rick Perry, I think, who said, he was afraid he would run out of pink slips. That was his problem. Yeah.
Barack Obama, when he first entered the office, no, he didn't show his tax return. But when he entered the race for president of the United States, he did show his tax returns.
Yep. Everybody has. In history, all the people running for office always have. Only Mitt Romney is trying to avoid it. And he may, get away with it. I don't think there's any law that says you have to. But he should, because this dude is not the 1%. He is the 1% of the 1%.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Bob. Yeah.
I was going to say, goodbye. I just hope people catch on to what this guy's really doing. That's all.
I think they will. I think they have. Now we'll see if they turn out to vote for or against. Then we'll see if they're allowed to vote for or against. Then we'll see if we're allowed to actually count the votes for or against. Yeah. I appreciate it, Bob. Thanks for the call, my friend.
Okay, bye-bye.
You bet. Take care. All right, we got to get to a break. So we will come back. Big block of calls straight ahead. And, boy, will I ever get to... Well, let me just say this in case I don't get to it. Iran, they're bombing the scientists in Iran, the nuclear scientists in Iran. They're killing them. They're picking them off one by one. It's probably Israeli Mossad. It's probably who knows how much U.S. CIA has to do with it. But I guarantee you, if it was reversed, if they were picking off our scientists with bombs, we would call it terrorism. And we would respond against the terrorists. When Iran responds against the terrorists, it'll be Iran's fault, not the terrorists. Brad, in for Mike Malloy.
Mr. Crowley.
It's Friday the 13th, and Mike Malloy is nowhere to be found. This is Nightmare on Malloy Street.
The whole thing is just a dream.
With Brad Friedman.
Wake up!
That'll teach him. I don't know what they're thinking. Last April Fool's Day, remember they let me in here? I don't know what's wrong with these Malloy people. What, are they out of their mind? April Fools, Friday the 13th. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for the final half hour of your nightmare. Mike Malloy returns next Monday. Until then, you got me, and you got... Desi Doyen is our producer. We need to get... we'll see if she's actually paying attention out in the hallway. Des, can you come in? Desi, you got the... there we go.
No one should be alone in a nightmare. That's why Desi Doyen is pulling the strings.
Pull the string! Pull the string!
There she is. Hey, Des.
Don't
my God, man, pull the string, yeah.
Well, you sound like you're on the Starship Enterprise.
I don't know, I went Scotty all of a sudden. Scotty, yeah. I cannot get no more.
Yeah, so you're pulling the strings on this show, are you?
Apparently.
All right. So here's my thought. Since you're pulling the strings, I thought I'd call you in to tell you to go out and get Margo and have her come in so we can put her on the air.
Awesome. Okay, well, it's nice talking to you.
Yeah, we'll see who's pulling the strings now. Margo Paez is going to join us in a second. Let me take a quick call. Until then, James in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Hey, James, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind, sir?
Oh, I'm just looking at the chat room.
Yeah.
And Tim told me I should call.
Oh,
wait. I'm into the chat room. I'm LTC Barber.
Oh, you're a big right winger. A, don't ever listen to Tim about anything. B, LTC Barber or James, why are you calling? So other than Tim told you to call, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm trying to figure out that if the government makes my wife take ID, so she's a cashier at a store, for someone to buy Sudafed, mm-hmm. why can't we ask them to show ID to vote?
Well, for a number of reasons, because some 21 million Americans don't have the type of photo ID. Now, ID in and of itself is not a problem, but we're talking about specifically narrowly tailored photo ID, which is meant to keep people from voting. 21 million Americans don't have that type of ID. So,
What keeps them from getting that ID?
Well, for example, in Indiana, when they first instituted the photo ID, a lot of them are 80 and 90-year-old nuns who were disenfranchised. What keeps them from getting it, for example, is the reason they don't have ID is because they don't have a driver's license. So they might live hours away from a DMV. They might be actually working during the day when the DMV is open. They might, in some cases, have to spend hundreds of dollars, like Ruth L. Frank up in Wisconsin, who has to spend $20 just to have a birth certificate made because she never had a birth certificate because she was born at home. But there are typos in her name in the registry of deeds, so she's going to have to pay $200 to change the birth certificate to then get her free ID. She's 84 years old, by the way, to get her free ID if she can get to a DMV to get it. Now, you're cool with that, right?
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
The election is not until November,
mm-hmm.
and it happens to be January.
Mm-hmm.
If someone can't figure out how to get an ID and it's 10 months out of...
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I want them to vote.
Really? And, of course, and weren't you LTC Barber, that means you were in the armed services, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you for your service. But yeah. Now, how long will it take you to get a photo ID?
How long will it take me to get a photo ID?
Yeah.
It all depends. I mean, my local whatchamacallit, it'll take me about 30 minutes.
Now,
but actually, my state, mm-hmm. I lost my driver's license when I was in Iraq.
Uh-huh.
And I called my state, talked to somebody
uh-huh.
in Arizona, told them who I was, had my ID number, and they mailed me my ID to my next duty station. It was waiting on me when I got there.
Cool. How long did that take?
Took me about a couple hours over the phone.
No. How long did it take for you to get your ID after you had lost it?
Probably a couple days.
Just a couple days. Okay. Mm-hmm. And how long will it take you to get one now in order to vote this year?
Ours is permanent, but if I were to lose it.
Oh, wait. So you have one? You have one?
Yeah.
So you have one, yet you want to make other people have to go get one because weren't you defending the Constitution when you were out there in Iraq?
Yeah, I was defending the Constitution.
Where does it say anything about photo ID in the Constitution, James?
It's not. It's a state right.
Yeah.
It's a state right. The state
really?
Does it.
So,
the state decides on how one votes in their state.
Okay, so you're cool with the state putting in, let's say, a poll tax or a literacy test, right?
No.
Why not?
Because that's not allowable under the Voter Rights Act of 65, I believe.
Uh-huh. And so what makes it allowable to disenfranchise voters?
How are they disenfranchised?
Well, for example, under the Voting Rights Act,
has to get
James?
Everybody who's voting had to do the same thing. There's nothing different.
Okay, except you already have a photo ID, James. All right, let me help you out here. Under the Voting Rights Act, which you said makes those the poll tax and the literacy test illegal, under the Voting Rights Act, the Department of Justice just determined that South Carolina, their photo ID law is illegal because minorities are 20% more likely to not have the type of photo ID needed. So you support photo ID, right?
I'm a minority.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out why they can't go get the ID.
Why they can't go get it? What, is it your job to decide what they have to go do or don't go do? 21 million Americans. Yeah.
The state tells everybody who wants to vote in the state that they have to have ID.
Well, why can't we tell them they have to pass a literacy test, James? What's wrong with that?
A literacy test is totally different.
Why?
Because a literacy test says if you can or cannot read.
What if you can or cannot drive?
Okay, here's the thing.
Okay,
James. For me to get a driver's license or an ID in the state of Arizona, okay, I'll say an ID. I have to have a legal birth certificate.
Okay, stop.
State in the United
stop, James. Okay, stop, James. Ruth L. Frank, 84 years old in Wisconsin, doesn't have a birth certificate because she was never born at home. I mean, because she never had one because she was born at home. She never had a birth certificate. So what should she have to do?
Well, my nephew doesn't have a birth certificate because they injured him when he was born.
Uh-huh.
So the hospital, Dominguez Hospital, which is closed down in Los Angeles, didn't produce a birth certificate. Ultimately, he got a birth certificate.
Okay,
it took him
84 years old. I'm asking you about Ruth L. Frank, who's 84 years old. Who
I'm
has,
not going with the sob story. That just happens to be one person.
Really? Okay, let's go to 93-year-old Dorothy Cooper down in Tennessee, who has
it's
been voting. Hang on, James. Hang on. I'm asking you a question. You're not going to tell me what works with you. I'm asking you a question. 93 years old, Dorothy Cooper has been voting without a problem down in Tennessee, even during Jim Crow. In the South, in Tennessee. She has a birth certificate. She went to the effort. She doesn't drive. She went to the effort to get to the DMV. She showed them her birth certificate. She showed them her, her house lease, her mortgage, everything else. They denied her an ID. Why did they do that? Because she got married since she was born, so her name changed. But she couldn't find her marriage license. James, should 93-year-old Dorothy Cooper, who has never missed a presidential election in her life, should she be denied the right to vote next November?
I'm sorry. Yes, if she can't find the.
Thank you, James, for your service to this nation. I wish you gave a goddamn rat's ass about the Constitution that you are supposed to have been defending. Shame on you, James. States' rights, my ass. You have no clue what states' rights are, sir. The states do not have rights to violate the U.S. Constitution, and you, sir, should be ashamed of yourself. Shame on you. If you won't fight for the people of this country, if you won't fight for this democracy, if you won't fight to defend this Constitution, James, you can go straight to hell. You have no clue what states' rights are about. You have no clue what the Constitution is about. You have no clue what democracy is about if you're not out there fighting for every legal voter in this nation to be able to cast their vote for whoever they want. Thank you, James, for serving your country. I'm sorry you are such a blight on it. Hey, Margo.
Hey. Wow. I think you were his Nightmare on Elm Street just there.
That'll teach him.
Yeah.
Margo Paez from Inside Out News. Hi.
Hi. How's it going?
You have been promoted tonight to our, where are we calling you?
Associate
producer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for coming in and joining us. You, very quickly, before I go back to the calls, Inside Out News. You had time to come in and help us tonight when Inside Out News is paying you all of that money to cover Occupy LA,
yes,
as you have been for months.
Mm-hmm.
Do they pay a lot, Inside Out News?
Well, initially I was paying myself in less sleep.
I see.
But now that I'm working with another group of people, I do get a little bit of money.
Oh, good. Oh, that's good.
Yes.
Well, because now you are a true citizen journalist. You were out there covering, you were covering for months Occupy LA until they threw them out, threw them in jail.
Day in and day out in the thick of it, definitely, muddy shoes and all.
Yeah. Are you now, since they were arrested, thrown in jail, and tortured, as many of them were, are you still covering Occupy LA?
Yes, I am. And in fact, I have a few updates for you if you'd like
to
hear them.
Oh, yes, please do.
All right, I've got two. The first one is that there was an action today. Occupy LA and occupiers across the country have been very big on foreclosures. That's their big, that's part of their Occupy 2.0, going in and protecting people.
They're against them.
They are against foreclosures. Okay. Sorry, that's correction. Right. They are against foreclosures. They're big in preventing foreclosures.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been going in where they believe there are illegal evictions that are going on. They've been, so today they did a big action in the name of two people in Los Angeles, both elderly in their 60s and 70s,
mm-hmm.
Retired teacher and a chaplain. They went to the Bank of New York Mellon in downtown Los Angeles Financial District, protest there, where actually the bank shut down because they knew they were coming.
The bank shut down.
Yes.
They had these people on the run. They shut the bank because they were so scared of the Occupy Wall Street.
Exactly. Not only did
Love
they
it.
Shut the bank
Love
down,
it.
The police were there waiting for them. So,
cowards.
But for the protesters, they felt that it was a victory because they, you know, they didn't have to do anything to shut the bank down. The bank shut themselves down.
You know what? They're cowards. They are afraid of the people. If the people band together, if they stand together for what is right, for we the people, for the Constitution, to stop these criminal corporations from lying, cheating, stealing, committing fraud on Americans, we would change this country overnight if people only weren't afraid to stand up against the powers that be. Margo, I got to get to a break.
Yes.
So we're not going to be able to get the rest of your news, but thanks for coming
that
in tonight.
Was fine.
And come back again soon. We
oh,
love
I
having
will.
You here.
Thank you.
You got a website to give out real quick?
InsideOutNews.org. That's InsideOut. InsideOutNews.
Insight.
Out News. It's insightful.
There you go. InsightOutNews.org. Thanks, Margo. Margo Paez. Appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. We'll talk to you at dinner. Brad Friedman, last few minutes here on the Nightmare on Molloy Street. I'm going to try to get to as many calls as I can after this break. Stay with us.
You know, by the tail.
The impossible dream to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to ride.
See?
The unrightable wrong.
It's not a nightmare. It's an impossible dream. Thanks for joining us tonight. If you're on the phone, hang on. We're going to try to get to you as soon as we can, but I want to make sure I get in my thanks here tonight for Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Molloy Street. My thanks to Shane O and Kenny Pick from the RadioOrNot.com network for our great stingers tonight. Our great... Nightmare on Molloy Street stingers. They were awesome. Who knows if we'll ever get to use them again. So thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. My thanks, of course, to the rockinest engineer in all of Hollywood, Tony Sorrentino, right here at LA's K-Talk AM 1150. Thank you, brother, for your great work, as always. And to producer Desi Doyen, who is pulling the strings. Pulling the strings. And let's see, to For Earth and Dale in the chat room. Margo Paez of InsightOutNews.org for helping us out. Of course, Graham Zielinski of Recall Wisconsin HQ. That's the Democrats in Wisconsin. Did I get everybody? I think so. And, of course, to Mike and Kathy Molloy, who will be back Monday when your long national Friday night nightmare will have been over. Me, I'll be back with you who knows when, but you can find me at bradblog.com and on the Twitters at thebradblog. Okay, let me see. I'm going to fly through, so if you have any comments, get them fast. I'm going to try to get in as many as I can. Susan in Squim, Washington. Hey, Susan.
Hi, Brad.
I just wanted to make a quick point. All these right-wingers that are coming in wanting everybody to get photo ID, suggest to them that what we ought to do is when every baby is born, give them a Social Security number with a photo ID on it and make everybody always carry it. See what they do. They will go ballistic.
Papers, please. they also don't want to do that. You know what? I should have asked that idiot before he left. I should have asked what was the why he even wants this photo ID. Because there's no photo, there's no voter fraud problem as far as in-person voter impersonation.
Well,
it's not a problem.
In this country, are Americans. We're here. And, everybody should be able to vote if they're old enough.
And if you know what, if you're worried about people voting twice, which they don't do, not at the polling place, use the purple ink. They never talk about the purple ink because they know that that will work just fine to solve their problem, and they don't want to solve the problem because there is no problem. What they want to do is disenfranchise folks. Thanks, Susan.
Okay, bye.
I got to run here. Let me see. Oh, wait, here we go. Robert in Dallas. Hey, Robert, thanks for holding what's on your mind in very few seconds. I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem.
Roberto.
Thank you.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that, you know, living here, I moved back to Texas a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And every time, I don't look Latino, but I am. I was born in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I go to try to, you know, when I tried to register to vote, they gave me the hardest time in the world. They are trying to split the vote in the state.
Yep.
I cannot wait to move back to L.A. This place is awful. And I think the country knows it now from the idiot that runs this place.
Well, don't let Desi hear you. That's her hometown, Dallas. Don't let her, that it's a horrible place. It's a lovely place. It's too bad they don't allow people to vote as per the Constitution down there.
Exactly.
Thanks for the call, Roberto. I appreciate it. And don't give up your vote. Get in there and fight to get that vote done. Armin in Glendale, California. Hey, Armin, you got barely a few seconds. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brad.
Hey.
I just wanted to say, look, disagree with you on this point. I believe in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that the vast majority of the 21 million people who you cite who don't have who don't have photo ID fall into the category of the folks you cited. I think that's a pretty specious argument.
How many? Hang on. I only have like 30 seconds. How many are you cool with falling into that category? How many are you cool with not being able to cast their legal vote, Armin?
Look, I believe that it's fair to have some sort of an exception to catch those people, but the vast majority of that 21 million number that you cite don't fall into those categories.
So, if only a million?
Republican, Democrat,
a million?
Let's be real about that.
Armin, a million? You're cool if only a million can't get their photo ID? You're cool with that?
I said that there should be an exception for people who legitimately cannot get photo ID.
Okay, there are no exceptions. There are no exceptions. Yes. Millions of people are going to be disenfranchised. I don't mean to cut you off, Armin, but I'm coming to the end of the show. Catch me next time. How many? A million? A half a million? How many should we disenfranchise? How many is it okay? How many rights can be taken away? How many Americans? One person who has their rights taken away, a law is unconstitutional. Go read the Constitution. It matters. I'm fighting for it. I hope you will join me in that fight. Right, left, center, I don't give a damn. Let's get in there and defend this democracy. Brad in for Mike Malloy. See you at bradblog.com. Until next time, keep it lit, America.